big time. Now, I want to share. I did miss something. Could we stand? Oh, yeah, those are the upcoming events. Could we stand and greet about six or seven people? I'm not going to have a long message. I'll rest you. But greet one another. Greet Paul and Ashley. Tell someone you love them in the Lord. A little seventh inning break. Amen. Musica, musica. Amen. You may be seated. Have a seat real quick. You know, I was just praying this week and really for this month for messages to share. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew 14. Messages to share. And if you have your Bible, I want to encourage you. Bring your Bibles. I know you got your phones. You can follow me, but I love when you just jump in, but everybody knows it's very easy to find Matthew. Hey, where's Matthew located in the Bible? Does anybody know? And what number book is it? Verse 1, that's it. Matthew 14, hallelujah. Glory to God. So, I'm going to come with Matthew 14, verse 14. And I just think it's just so appropriate. It hit me so big. I've been very busy, and I wanted to share this message. And when I share this message, it's a message that I've shared over the years for you know, because it's just so special. In fact, when I first started Teen Challenge here in Long Island in 1990, it's a message that I just echoed and shared. It's a message that Paul and Ashley will share probably in every church service they go to. And it's really on compassion. Can you say compassion? Amen. And so in Matthew chapter 14... it always touched me. There's a little hum in this, and if it doesn't go away, don't worry about it. Matthew 14:14, it says, "And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sickness." Hallelujah. I don't know if lights dim, something happened, but it's all good. I want to pray for just a touch from heaven on our hearts. this morning. Could you stand with me real quick? Amen. I want you to stand is you'll see. I just want you to stand. I want to get that blood flowing. But I want to get a good look. Now some of you are at my level. Some of you can't stand. Deborah, you are excused for your two operations. When is that happening? Thank you for being at church today. Hallelujah. So let's just pray for this message this morning for all of us. Lord, I thank you for your love and what you've done in all of our lives, how you're so faithful, and how you have transformed our thinking, our bad thinking, and you've given us godly good thinking, and you have restored our family, you've brought us to this church. And Lord, we want you to do something special in our hearts today and every day. And that we would shake off the old and anything that has come on that kind of weighs us down, and things may get common and old, and you would just resurrect our heart of compassion for the hurting people of this world. I pray in Jesus' name you would touch all of us, and you have given us all a mantle to share the gospel. That's why we exist. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now don't sit, because this title of this message was born and birthed in India in a very intensified moment in my life. And so here's the title. I don't know if it's up there. You could put it up. It's called Somebody Cares for You. Somebody Cares for You. And the second, of course, a title is Compassion, God's Love in Action. Can you tell your neighbor, I really care for you? Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I don't want to... We've shared a lot. We've said a lot. I want to just share this with you. It might be a part two, part three, part four. I'm not sure. But as I said, look at compassion in here. And really this message is really God's love in action. Compassion is God's love in action through you. And as you'll see this, it says something that's so special, because look at compassion in action. We're going to see compassion in action in verse 14. Compassion in action, and this is what it says, and this is part one, and I'll be defining compassion. It says, and when Jesus went out, he saw the great multitudes, and he was moved with compassion. Can someone say moved? Now, this word moved really intrigued me and touched me and inspired me, kind of hooked me, because I've shared this over the years. This is my message that I've shared from in 1990 all the way through almost every church I'll minister to. Probably every message I've ever shared, or Pastor yourself or Paul yourself have ever shared, somehow comes out of our hearts is the compassion of God. And this word move just touched me. Jesus' heart of compassion caused him to move and to minister healing. And Jesus went to the people. He moved to the people, and that's kind of what I saw. There's two dynamics in this word move. One is an emotional move, like you were actually shocked into being moved. But it's also, it's something that happens when you begin to move toward a hurting situation. Or you begin to move toward something that God is leading you to minister to. And so it's this incredible moment that Jesus is, that's documented in Jesus, it just touched so much about us, because I think too many of us are just sitting in the pews. Amen. Someone say it's time to move. Amen. It's time to do something. Every Tuesday here, we have a team here at 3 o'clock. If you'd like to come join us, come at 2 o'clock. And at 3:15, when school is dismissed, we give out tons of food. 40 families are here every single morning. We have a team that has been here dedicated for some over 30 years, 20 years, who are dedicated. If you serve in this compassionate outreach every Tuesday, or you have served one time or another, would you stand with me? Just stand real quick. Stand up if you served in this outreach, Noah's Ark, some way or somehow. Come on. Thank you for your compassion. And what a, how many years, Pastor, has that been going on? 40 years. 40 years that has been going on. Amen? Hallelujah. That just touches me because this church is moved with compassion. They're do something about it. Now, let me give you my definition. Andy, I'm not sure if you have this up there. I don't know what's in your notes, but it's the definition of compassion. Here's my definition I've learned over the years. The deep feeling of sharing the suffering of another and giving aid and showing mercy to. Let me repeat it again. I'm not sure they have it in notes. The deep feeling of sharing the suffering of another and giving aid and showing mercy to. So here's the deal. All of us somewhere, some way, somehow have had compassion part one. And compassion part one is the first part of this definition. The deep feeling of sharing the suffering of another. And many of us have shared that. Have you ever looked upon something? There it is. Have you ever looked upon somebody and your heart has just gone out to them? The word says, too much is given, much is required. I want to say this. Too much is given, much has. And let me just say this, because a lot of us, and how many of here in life, you have lived through crisis, some crisis. Amen? Few of you haven't. I want to just hug you when we leave here today. Get some of that, whatever you got. Amen? But I'm sure all of you raised your hand somewhere or another. And what I mean by that is what you've experienced in your life, you can feel and you can look on somebody and you can see the pain on somebody else's face or their heart. I remember because I went through a lot as a kid, a very traumatic childhood with a lot of crazy stuff, fighting for the civil rights movement and just being outcast and mocked and, you know, just things that goes with that because freedom's not free. I remember I didn't like that feeling. Because I was able as a kid, I could see the person now. It's embedded in me. I remember I was at a St. Agnes basketball game in the bleachers. And I remember when this young man was doing something and he had the spotlight. And his teacher or somebody came up from that high school and just reprimanded him. And I was way over there. Everybody's watching the game. And I held back tears for this kid as I looked on his face. And I would go through that. And I didn't like it. But I'm so thankful that I have that. Because I realize that's something that God puts on us. And it ignites something in our heart to go to people and tell people that somebody cares for you. Come on, somebody. And so that's part one. But part two is showing, giving aid and showing mercy to. Are you getting this? And I think the part two and even the part one, we can get rusty in this stressful rush life. Gotta make it. You get on a bus, you get in a car, you walk by the 7-Eleven, and sometimes people who are homeless disturb you maybe, or sometimes, and whereas it should help you or promote or ignite something to pray for somebody. We can miss those moments in life. Amen. And so I want to just share with you, but I want you to fill in the blank. I don't know if you have this, Andy. Stay with me, Andy. I know you had a long night. It says that, I think I have this. Compassion is God's love in action through blank. Do I have that up there? Through blank. Now, can we fill in the blank, somebody? Because I know the blank. God, compassion is God's love in action through me. Come on, somebody. Say me. Amen. It's through me. How many said me? Amen? That's the only time you should be yelling me, 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 me. Remember the bird in Africa that all day goes me, me, me? You know, some people are me, me, me. Well, that's a good time you could say me. God's love and action through me. Now, let me give you a few actions here. Just a few actions of compassion. And 3 days in the wilderness, and he defeated Satan's temptation. And then comes right into the temple full of compassion and courage. Luke 4:16, it says this. So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up. Someone say, stand up. That's courage. And sometimes we need to stand up, amen? And we need to be wise in our standing up. I was at the Olympic Diner. That's my diner, amen? I claim that my diner, and all of them know me. They all know me. In fact, the other night, every time I go in there, the young kids, sometimes they do it jokingly. Pastor Jimmy, could you come over here? You need to pray for him. It's just really a waitress they're having a fun, crazy time with, you know, and I'll go lay hands on. Anyway, so this particular day, I'm ordering something to go, and this big guy gets in there, and he has it, and he's ready to sue the whole place. He's yelling, and he's screaming, and you know, he's making a loud noise. I'm a lawyer, and this and that, and the owner's daughter, I know, and finally he says, why don't you just shut your mouth, go inside and wash dishes? Well, I wasn't going to stand there, amen? So he's standing literally like this to the you know, cashier. I'm sitting over there, so I just had to walk over and I just said, it's time for you to leave. And however, there was a mixture of anger in this moment, Pastor, and I had to get Jesus in there, and I had to realize that. And then he goes, and what are you gonna do? Well, I wanted to tell him that I could possibly do this, this, and this. And I probably could. I'm pretty good in shape. I work out all the time. But I just prayed him out of there. Come on, somebody. Amen? And so, I think a little fear came with it. But Jesus stood up in the temple and he was handed the book of Isaiah. And Jesus boldly proclaims, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Come on. Amen. To proclaim liberty to those who are bound. And to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. They might be trees planted for the glory of God. Amen. Now, here's the awesome thing, what Jesus did. You talk about bold, Pastor. I mean, you talk about bold. I mean, many of you may not know this, but in the temple, there's a seat. And in every temple that you'll ever go to, unless maybe some other Orthodox temple, I'm not sure, they have an empty seat. And guess what? First, Jesus stands, amen, And then he's standing up. He proclaims Isaiah. They know it by heart because all the Jewish children had to memorize it. And then he's handed the book out. And then he sits in the Messiah's seat and he says, and today in your hearing, this is fulfilled. Oh, man, you talk about a revival. That church, you know, you got to go in between the lines like the Chosen does. I wish I was like the producer or the director. I would have that scene awesome. You got people fighting, yelling, cursing. You got others up there singing hallelujah. Camille shouting Gloria. Annette shouting Gloria. Deborah's up there. And then you got Ernie shouting glory. Then you got the demon shouting in the tent, blaspheme, blaspheme. But you talk about game time, game on, compassion with courage. Come on, that's what we need. And Paul, that's what the Knicks needed last night. Help us, Lord. Anyway, we pray for next year. Here we go. So don't miss this. Don't miss this because we need that type of courage. You know, what's wonderful about Teen Challenge and what I've learned by David Wilkerson, which I have probably have seen the most powerful, courageous man on the face of the earth, was probably this man of God, David Wilkerson. Amen. And I'll tell you how powerful he is. He would go into shooting galleries, into highways and byways, so bold, and his message in the gospel was so bold that when Nikki Cruz saw him with the gang, Nikki wanted to cut him up into 1,000 pieces. Amen. And David Wilkerson, when he was threatened by Nikki, I'll cut you up into 1,000 peace is. You know what David Wilkerson said, with courage. He said, Nikki, you can cut me up into 1,000 pieces, but every one of those pieces will cry out, I love you. Come on, somebody, that rocked the world. And because of that moment, Paul's here, I'm here. Many and thousands and millions of people are healed because one man stood up to preach the gospel and wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God and salvation to all those who believe. Hallelujah. Give him a big shout. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's so easy to be a worldly person. It's so easy. Boy, it takes courage to stand up in this day saying, I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sanctified, glorified. I am Pentecostal. Yep, I speak with tongues. I'm a demon slayer. I know who I am, and I'm excited to do what God's called me to do. And nothing is going to stop me from proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And folks, that's what we're going to be doing in that parking lot. Are you with me? On June 28th, Saturday, from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock, we are going to be demonstrating the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? What is the message we're telling people from this church? Say it with me. What's the title of the message? Somebody cares for you. Come on. Don't get me excited. Hallelujah. That's courage. God, compassion with courage. Hallelujah. Soul winning takes compassion and it takes courage. You're not ashamed to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. God will put you in positions with people, and step out and don't miss the moment. Amen? Step out and don't miss the moment. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Recently, I was listening to a message from a great, well-known preacher, and he was sharing such... I'm so thankful. It's something that I might be embarrassed to share. And he shared... Boy, you know him very well. And he shared that he was on a plane, and while he was on a plane, I can't remember exactly what happened. He happened to have... I think it was first class. And this particular person that came up, that was in the other seat, said something, but he said, I didn't recognize, I didn't say anything for him, and he was an empty seat, I have an empty seat, but I was zoning into the Word. I had my message on, and I was listening, and I was writing my sermon, and all of a sudden, as we got up, and they escorted him out, as he was going out, people saying, oh, hey, it was a friend. So he said, who are you? And he said, who is this guy? And I forget who it was. I'm sorry. But it was a big-time rock star. And he said, do you remember the story? And he said, at that time, I could have sat over and shared the gospel. And what was he saying? Don't miss those divine moments in life. Amen. Hallelujah. I remember when I was on the basketball team, we were in St. Louis, I think. And sometimes I forget until about a year ago, this particular pastor, who's now a pastor at a church, and he texted me. He says, "Remember when you shared and led so and so to the Lord and witnessed to him?" And I said, "Oh yeah." So one time we're in a store, and we're ministering. I can't forget what we were doing. Oh, we were in an outreach. That's right. We're doing an outreach in I think it was in Chicago. And so all of a sudden, someone came out and said, hey, Alice Cooper's in the store. I went, where is he? Amen? Listen, when you're in T-Challenge, you're like a pit bull, man. You just want to go out there and tell someone about Jesus. You don't care. You get this crap. I've had enough with the devil. And I ran right in there and witnessed the gospel of Jesus Christ to Alice Cooper. And today, he's born again and saved. And I say, hey, maybe it was one of those witnesses. Amen? Glory to God. It's just so much opportunity. You never know. But listen, here's the deal. And you share, and I've shared this. Listen, don't miss this. I believe this. I believe there's a scroll. There's a scroll that we all get when we're born. And I believe it. And I can't prove this theologically, but I'm just, listen, just stay with me. It's like in between the lines. Like, how many here likes The Chosen? Good, good. So you know some of it they make up because they got to fill it. Anyway, so I believe that all of us have a scroll. And you know what? You know what's on that scroll? Names of people that God has chosen you to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. My scroll is as important as your scroll. Amen? I really believe that. I believe there's specific people God had. And I don't care how mature you are, what your age is, I want to tell you that as you get all, you know, the scroll just isn't finished with you born. I think there's a team up there, an evangelism committee pastor, that gets together and says, just send that to, put that on Jimmy's scroll. He'll do it. Oh, this guy needs to get saved. All right. You put that on Tom's, put that on Sue, put that on Diane. Amen? And these opportunities, but courage will bring you there. Courage will say, God, I could use him. I could use him. Love that song. If you could use anyone, Lord, you can use me. Amen. So someone say courage. So number two, let me share this with you. And I end with this real quick. Listen, compassion with care. Compassion with care. Now, I'm going to end with this. There's more I have, but we'll go halfway with this message because I need to share with you how I got this message. Somebody cares for you in the depth of a thick, thick moment in humility and even in brokenness in India. And so here's what the gospel said, and here's what Jesus quoted from Isaiah, not the God, Isaiah. He said this, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Listen to what it says. "To proclaim acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God." Now, I skipped this. I didn't say this in my quoting. And then it says this. Watch. "To comfort all who mourn in Zion." Listen to what it says. "And to console those who mourn in Zion." Listen to what it says. "To comfort all who mourn and to console those who mourn in Zion." The Hebrew word for this word, console, which is pretty cool. I love it. I get it. It means to secure. Think about that. It also means to extend, but it also means compassion with care. Console, and we know that in the English word. You know, someone dies, but you console them, or you console. And what are you doing? I love that word, secure. You're securing them, aren't you? You're securing them. And so what is this? Compassion with care. You know I quote this all the time. Nobody will ever really care what you know until they know that you really care. And I'll say that over and over and over and over until you get it. Amen? Nobody will ever really care what you know or what you tell them until they really know what you care. These wonderful people in here, Pastor, and I've been in outreaches all over the world. I've been out in a hardcore. When we first started Times Square Church, we had at the Needlelander, and this is right on 8th Avenue, Billy Lon and myself, I call him my younger brother, we had the Upper Room Ministry on 8th Avenue and 51st Street. At 8th Avenue, no, 48th, 8th Avenue 48, right near the bus terminal. You talk about hardcore people. This is 1990, this is 1987. I was still in Bible college. Billy went with Times Square Church with Brother Dave and Gary. I went to Bible college. And we went in there. You talk about hardcore people. Even some of these people are hardcore. But you know, few of them would manifest and disrespect. You want to know why? Because they knew we cared. These families that come here, I watch them. They're respectful. I don't see any crazy fights breaking out or anything. And there's nothing wrong with a good old fight when you're doing evangelism. And that's just part of it when the demon shakes, amen. I love that kind of action. You should have seen me and Bobby back in the day. We'd be wrestling and fighting. In fact, I did a outreach crusade in New Jersey. What is the crazy part of New Jersey? Newark, New Jersey. And me and Bobby and my brother, thank God I had my crazy brother Huey and Gary DeRosa there and big old Barry. And the Black Panthers came. And they came right up there, right up. And they said, we want that microphone. We're going to tell these people what's up. I said, no, you're not. And Barry came and Huey came, stood right in front of them in the name of Jesus. No, you aren't. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen? Anyway, no fights broke out. God took care of it. But here is the deal. You've got to understand something. People know. People can tell if you're real or not. Especially old dope fiends, drug addicts, hurting people. They know. They can tell if you are real or not. And that's why this message I'm sharing today. What does this message do? It's doing something. Just like it's done to me. How did I get to this place? Of course, I was broken at one time. But I would hear these messages from David Wilkerson and Nikki Cruz and Bob Phillips and Don Wilkerson. And I would hear the heart throng of and the reality of what we're doing and why we got and who we're born and what we're called to do. And how beautiful it is. Amen. To go, people, and go to tell the world somebody cares for you. Amen? Hallelujah. So let me end with this. I'll share with this. I want to pray for you real quick. So we were in India, in the heart of India. And I met the evangelist. They had an Assembly of God represented in India, and he represented all of the Assembly of God churches and so on. And so when I first went there, I preached to the pastors. And somebody got a pastor's convention. I preached to all of them. We had them roll, and it was so awesome. Amen. I learned stothram. That's praise the Lord. And anyway, I won't mention that part. Then we get into the city. But before we get into the city, I had a meeting one-on-one, me and Barbara Scotty, with the minister, the Assembly of God minister. So he goes, tell me about your ministry. So this had to be 1996, maybe 1997. And so as I was saying, I was like, oh, we got the Stallone estate. We go out in the city, and we've seen hundreds saved. We have about 100 students in our program. God is doing, we're building a church. We have a church. We go out in the street. We see lives saved. We see the gospel being preached. And he's just looking at us, and he was very stoic. I just felt like he didn't like me. You know, I really, you ever feel like when he's telling you who this guy think he is? It's weird. And all of a sudden I said, can you tell us about yourself? He said, well, Brother Jimmy, I've been here 25 years. He said, for the first 20 years, I never seen one person saved. And I wanted to crawl under my table because I instantly knew I was in front of greatness. I realized, how can a person come out Muslim country, Hindu country, continue, don't see any fruit, and continue on. He said, however, after 20 years, I got my first convert. He said, Jimmy, now in the city of India, there's thousands and thousands of people that are giving their lives to the Lord through that one person in our ministry here. And I was just, forget about it. So we got up, and you know, it was just like, he was just stoic. He was just, I was like, even afterwards, said, Bob, I don't think this guy likes me. Like, who's this guy coming in, you know, preaching this crusade? What, he should, Andy Morgan is his name. He was from Maine. So the first night we get up, I don't know what the heck I'm going to preach on. But I'm an evangelist. I know that's my gift. I don't boast it. But I'll just give you a little thing about evangelists, except certain ones for me. Sometimes you don't know what to preach when you get up. You don't have a set message in certain situations. An organized crusade, but out there in the street, and this was a citywide crusade in the street, not a baseball stadium. I didn't know what to preach. And so I got up, I was nervous. And then I got a message that my mother was about to die. And I had to go home. So I was broken. I was literally jumping on a flight immediately after the service. And they gave her 24 hours to live. And I got up, and I simply shared a message called, Somebody Cares for You. And I just began to preach about this compassionate father, about the story in Luke that Jesus told about a son who's wayward, who's lost and bound and sleeping at pigs, and this compassionate father just prayed from this compassionate God. And that father is our Father God. And that father's also Jesus. And that lost person was like me. And I got to tell you, Pastor, I felt an anointing I've never felt before, that you could slice. You ever hear that expression? I'm telling you that. As I remember it, there was a vapor. The anointing was so thick. And remember, I told you that Andy Morgan doesn't like me. And as I'm looking to the left, as I'm preaching, I look over. Andy Morgan is going like this. He's going nuts. And I'm thinking, I look at Bob. I'm in this thick, anointing. I look at Bob. I go, it's like, Andy, did he just get saved or something? Because he's just so stoic. And he's jumping. He's going, and he's like, my amen corner. This guy couldn't even talk. And he was just stoic. He's going, amen. He's crying, amen. Amen. I gave an altar call. People flooded. Hindus, Muslims, everything. And all of a sudden, when they came up, I stepped out. Runs at me and jumps at me with tears in his eyes. He says, Jimmy, he says, you got the heart of the Father. You got the heart of the Father. Hallelujah. Somebody cares. And here's what I got out of it. Stand with me. Here's what I got out of it. Here's what I got out of it. Come on up, worship team. So here's what I got out of it. I don't know. I didn't know how to minister to them. I'm telling you, it's such a difficult time to share. I didn't know how to minister to the Muslim people, to the Hindu people. Maybe I do now after 30 years. I still probably don't. I certainly was a rookie. And this is what I summarized everything. I had a long time to think about it. He was very concerned who this guy Jimmy Jack was. Who is this guy? Who's this prideful guy? Those are his people. You understand? That, don't get me wrong. They're my people too, but those are his people. That's his hood. That's his parish. And this man of this type and his stature, this man, he was concerned for those people. He knows what they need. And that night, it wasn't like a Billy Graham or a David Wilkerson. It was just a young preacher who simply was able to communicate the love of Jesus Christ to a hurting world. Come on, somebody. So that's what we're doing. I want to pray for you. And I want to ask God to touch you. I want to get, and we'll maybe continue next Sunday. And if you say, Pastor, I just want a touch from heaven. I need a touch upon my mind, my soul. I want to be able to be used by God in a very special way. Come on up before you leave. Just want to ask God to touch you for evangelism. I want to ask God to touch you to minister the gospel to your neighborhood, to your heart, to whoever. Amen.